First of all, I'd like to thank Pastor Paul and Pastor Carolyn and the Tabano family. When I first came here, I was broken, beaten down, just a mess, alcoholic, party goer. And I came here in 2003, but I met Pastor Paul in 96, but I went away to Michigan to play arena football. And it's amazing how God uses certain things in your life to bring you to a certain place. You look around right now, what's going on in the world, in our nation, and the Bible already talks about it. It's going to be gross darkness in the last days. It's going to be wars or rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. When you can celebrate sin and criticize Jesus, something is wrong. Amen. The body of Christ right now is not a time to quit, to doubt, to fall away, or to be lukewarm. You cannot be a lukewarm Christian right about now. You can't be a sometime Christian right about now. You can't read your word one day and skip it the next 3 or 4 days. Prayer right now is probably the most valuable tool you got right now, along with the word of God. Because if you're feeling like I am with this message and the way God has been dealing with me, and this is for me, the Holy Spirit told me to talk about me. This word that I got that came into my spirit, it hit me. And I hope it hit you. Because the simple fact is, you're going to have to check yourself before yourself get wrecked. You're going to have to check yourself today. Because when Pastor Bill came and I sat right here and he was talking about the less traveled road and he didn't give us anything, he said, you go study it out. I did. It took me to some different people in the Bible that roads that travel. Right now, I don't think some of us as Christians would want to walk those roads. I'm just being honest. That's what the Holy Spirit told me. I don't think you could walk one of those roads right now. I'm not going to fake it to try and make it. I remember playing high school football, and we only had 33 total players on the team. 33. I never came off the field a whole game. But you always had them one or two players. All they wanted to do, they didn't want to play. They didn't mind practicing. But they wanted to wear the uniform. That's all they wanted to do is wear that uniform on Friday nights. They said they was a part of the team. If you're going to put on that uniform, you better get ready to play in the game and get it dirty. I don't want to come out the game with a clean uniform. I want it to be filthy. I've been to battle. I came to play. I came to work. I came to win. Amen? Amen. Woo! That was just extra. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we thank you. For this is the day you have made, just like my brother Tony preached this morning, prayed this morning. We will rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what the situation is, no matter what it looks like, you're still on the throne and you're in control. As long as we got you, we got all we need, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, and we honor you today in Jesus' name. Amen. When this came to me, and everybody knows this, and the title that the Holy Spirit gave to me, will the real Christians stand up and speak up? Can't be silent. The world ain't silent about what they believe. They throwing it up in every and anybody's face they can. Why we can't? We believe something. We believe in Jesus Christ. Why we can't do it? This is what the Holy Spirit did to me. We come here Sunday, Wednesday, Fridays. But what do we do with it when we get it here? What do we do with it? Do we just ball it up and keep it to ourselves? When it need to be spoken wherever you at, do you speak it? Or do you just keep it to, no, I don't feel comfortable doing that. I don't want to offend nobody. You know, we sit at the same table during lunch breaks. I don't want to have to sit by myself. People are going to hell every day. My heart is hurting. I'm all about souls. Do I do it all the time? I'm just as guilty as anybody sitting in one of these chairs. But I'm still all about souls. Because you got to understand, everybody that's sitting in these chairs, somebody came to you with the gospel. Somebody came with you. If somebody wouldn't have came to me, if I wouldn't have came here and started being built up and edified in the word, the true word of God, it could have been me. I could have still been going out to clubs, still drinking and driving home every single night. And that one night, if nobody would have prayed for me, if nobody would have ever told me about Jesus Christ, I could be living eternity in hell right now. Those are people right now in your places where you work, your home, wherever you go, whoever you meet. Those are the people that are looking for somebody to do it just like somebody did for each and every one of you, to tell you about Jesus Christ. It's not a time, I got to keep saying this, it's not a time to be lukewarm. I will spew you out, the word of God says. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? How you can call yourself a Christian, but the Lord says go and spread the gospel all the way to the very ends of the earth, but you keep it in here and don't say it out of this? You know why I know why it's quiet right now? Because it's real. It's hitting home. Because it hit home in me. I wept in my basement reading that. I studied down there. I wept. My wife said, what is wrong? I got to pick my game up. You got to pick your game up. That old saying, when the going get tough, the tough get going. The devil wants to put you in a situation where not to trust the word and what the word says about you and the power and authority that you have when you speak the word. When Jesus rose, Jesus said the same spirit, not a different spirit, not a watered down spirit, not a borrowed spirit, the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus. Listen to that. The same spirit that raised Christ Jesus, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Son of the Most High God, the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus lives on the inside of you. Ain't no devil in hell can do anything to a Christian who's not lukewarm. If you're lukewarm, he's going to get a wormhole. He's going to sneak in there somehow, some way, and doubt, unbelief, not trusting him, worry, anxiety, all that can creep in. I'm not going to sit here and fake it to you. I'm going to be real with you. I'm just as guilty. But the thing about it is when you recognize, just like when Pastor Bill talking about with Saul, when he recognized who spoke to him, when you recognize whose spirit is on the inside of you, the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Amen? I don't know why, but the Holy Spirit got a funny sense of humor. But it took me to the book of Esther. Of all books, the book of Esther. Go to chapter 4. It reminds me of some of the things that's going on in the world today. It's a lot of Hamans out here. It's a lot of Hamans out here. I ain't gonna get into all the groups, but it's a bunch of them. Just look at the news. It's all around us. Everything that's going on is just like what that's going on, plotting and planning. But will you stand up and speak up? Will you stand up and speak up? It looked like Esther was done. Family, mom, father died. Goes and live with Mordecai. Mordecai raises her up. Then Queen Vashti says she don't want to be married no more. Forget you, brother. So he said, all right. I want all the virgins and all the single women. I need to bring them to the palace. But it's one thing she had to do. She had to conceal who she really was. She had to conceal who she really, really was until it was time to stand up and speak up. But it wasn't that she was scared or nervous or whatever. She already knew who she was. She knew who she was. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Amen. Go to let's start at 11. It said, all the king's servants and the people of the king's province know that any person, be it woman, man or woman, who shall go into the inner court to the king without being called shall be put to death. There's but one law for him, except him to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called into the king for these 30 days. And they told Mordecai what Esther said. And then Mordecai then returned this answer to Esther. Do not flatter yourself that you shall escape the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, glory, hallelujah. If you keep silent at this time, with gross darkness all around you every day, relief and deliverance shall arise for the Jews from elsewhere. But you and your father's house will perish. Everybody else out there trying to spread what they believe. Everybody trying to say what they say to people around them and tell them, you got to live this way. Why not us? We even got more right because we serve the only God, the only true God. Those are fake gods, but they ain't afraid to talk about their fake God. Our God is real. Their God is a lie. And who knows but that you have come to this kingdom for such a time as this, for this very occasion. I was joking with some of my coworkers the other day, and I look at all the salaries that the guys are making now in the NFL. I said, if only I could be 25 years younger and go back. But that's not God's plan. You're not alive and well this day, at this time, at this hour, at this year, for no purpose. You're not here right now on the face of this earth for nothing. For such a time as this, for such a time as this, I looked at that and I said, well, God, I mean, it's a lot of mess going on right now. Like he don't know that. But just talking and just sitting down and communicating with God, he said to me, he said, what are you worried about? And I thought about that. What am I worried about? If God be for us, who can be against us? Then I said, since God is for me, who can be against me? Because God is for me, who can be against me? If I know that God is for me, who can be against me? I want to share something. I fought it for a long time, but I wanted to connect with some of the guys that I played college ball with and professional football with. So me and my wife and daughter, we agreed to get Facebook. And the first 30 minutes scrolling through that thing, I got my phone. I gave it to my daughter. I said, take it off. I said, take it off. I said, it's too much of the junk of the world and da, da, da. I said, take it off. I did. And then I learned that you can block certain things and do all this other things or whatever with it. So okay, I'll try. And then I started pouring my heart out. Like the Holy Spirit would give me something to say, and I put it on there, and teammates that I used to do all kind of stuff with, college classmates, high school people I went to school with, started feeding back at me, thank you for what you're saying. I thank God for what you're telling me right now because I was in a situation, da, 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 da. I'm like, church, the people that don't know God, that are living any kind of way they want, are walking by you on your job, at school, in the gym, whatever you want to be. You can see them. You can see it on their faces. They know who you are. They know you are a Christian. They know you're on fire for God. And they walking by you every day hoping that you will stop them and say something to them. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling, cause it's at my job. Not only just the staff, but the kids. The kids that I deal with. People are hungry for somebody to love them unconditionally. And we got the answer. Amen. We got the answer. They walking by, you can see, I see it on their faces. I remember when I first got here, my wife was showing me around Albany. Like I said, I'm from a little small town called Slocum, Alabama. We known for tomato. We have tomato festival. Tomato festival. But when you go by people and you go by their houses and you pass by them or whatever, you throw your hands up, everybody. So when I got up here and she was riding me around, I see people in the yard. Nobody waved. My wife's like, babe, they don't know you. They ain't going to wave back at you. It's true. They did. They know. I'm just doing that. She like, stop. So, but when I get the kids out of school and they come back to my unit, you can see them wishing they were home with their family, wishing that they knew somebody cared. Staff the same way. We have to be there at 2:00. We do a briefing. Staff the same way. You'll see them come in. They sit down, not talking, no smile on their face. Just lost. But then they'll see me. Hey, what's up? Say, I got to do. I go in there, I shake every staff hand. Hey, how y'all doing today? What's up? So they look at that and they want to know why he's not frustrated, why he's not mad that he's got to deal with kids that don't know how to cope or deal with life, and he is happy as he can be. The book of Colossians says, do my job wholeheartedly to please him. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. What am I going there saying when you got people sitting here in the unemployment line wishing they or praying they had a job? Yep. I tell the kids, I say, it's not about the money. The money is just a bonus from God. The money is just a bonus from God. I'm here for your soul. What do you mean, Mr. Boyd? I said, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Y'all can live any kind of way you want to live. That's your choice. But the choice you make, whether it be good or bad, you still got to answer for it. So they were like, what do you mean by that, Mr. Borg? I said, let me tell you something. You can make a bad choice, you're going to get a bad reward. If you make a good choice, you get a good reward. I said, my main goal with every kid that I get, when I first get there and I tell them, I said, the first thing I want to do, I want you to go home to be with your family. I don't want you to be here 8, 9 months, 2 years, a year. We have kids that age out, get there 14, and you don't get a chance to leave LaSalle till you 21 when you age out, then they kick you out on the street and you ain't got nowhere to go. They out there, folks. They out there. They don't have a chance on earth right now without Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, on fire people that want to win the loss, tell them. I see nothing but prayers. The people that pray for you, you rejected for years, years before you came to know God. But we pray for somebody, we pray for them one time and then nothing happened, then you don't even pray for them no more? What if somebody would have stopped praying for you when you didn't come to Christ when they wanted you to? What chance would you have? What chance would your children would have had? Your grandchildren and your children's children. I wrote this quote down. If this nation is ever going to embrace the truth again,
the church is going to have to preach the truth, and the people in the church are going to have to live it out. If this nation is ever going to embrace the truth again, the church is going to have to preach the truth. The people in the church are going to have to live it out. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We have life because of the truth. Stop being afraid to do what God has called you to do. Stop letting the devil infiltrate your spirit, your trust in God, your faith in God, and do exactly what God has called you to do. Is it going to be uncomfortable? Ask Esther. If she don't do what she needed to do at this time, her people is going to be wiped out. Look at it, people. Amen. Look at it. Oh, it's over. It's over in different countries now. It ain't. It's not just overseas anymore. It's on the front line right here in our own country. So if you think it ain't here, you're badly mistaken. And if you don't think it could come and be in your front door, you're really sleeping. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. There's too many Christians asleep right now. There's too many Christians. It's just for me. Long as it ain't around me, it's fine. No. If you are a Christian and it's not godly, then it's not fine. It's not fine. Our reward is not here on earth. Our reward is in heaven. But some of us living like this is our reward. Like, okay, I mean, don't get me wrong. Enjoy the fruits of the land. God said to enjoy it. But don't let it become your God where it started taking you away from the time you spend in the word. Don't let it take away from your time to go and witness somebody you know you should be talking to. Don't let it take away. Don't let it take away your inheritance. Don't let it take away with your relationship. They used to, Mr. Coach Daly used to call me Mr. Consistency when I played for him. I was like, oh, what you mean? He said, you're not over the top and you're not less. You're just consistent. And I thought about that. That's all God is asking us to be. Consistent in prayer. Consistent in serving. Consistent in worship. Consistency. And I looked at it as far as my football career, and I told my wife this a long time ago. That's why I was able to play as long as I did. I look back how I used to study film for a game and the guys that I was going to play against. Hours and hours and hours of film time. Not only just with the coaches, even when I'm at home. I'm talking about trying to find the littlest niche I can get to win every battle that I played against. You can't lose. You got a strategy, whether it be offense or defense, and even some special team trick plays right here. Look at some of the stuff you do in life, the time you spend to learn something new or to learn a craft, how you dig into things like that. Why we can't do that with the word? That's all God is asking us for, is to be consistent. Dig into everything he has for you. So when the devil comes to you, you can't believe the lie. You can't believe the lie because you know the truth. Dig into it. Spend your time with God in his word. I know without a shadow of a doubt when I'm weak in my faith. I look back over the week. Oh, I didn't read before I left to go to work. I didn't ask the Holy Spirit to orchestrate my day when I got to work. I didn't thank him for the promotion that they're thinking about giving. You can tell it. I can feel it in my spirit all around me. I can tell it when I'm not giving God first things first. When Pastor, and it's funny, I dig into God's word, I do. But it's something about when he asks, when he comes to me, he's like, Coach, I need you to preach. My whole mentality, it changes. And the Holy Spirit checked me. He said, why you don't study like this all the time? I'm not perfect. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I am. And none of us ever will be. But strive. to be the strongest and the most powerful thing walking in the Spirit of God every single day that you can. You cannot afford not to. You cannot afford not to. The devil don't do anything new. We always do old stuff. But for some reason, it's getting a little craftier. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing. But he's just getting a little more craftier with it. But it's the exact same pattern. The exact same pattern. But you got to stay consistent. Consistency, consistency, consistency. When Esther got that word, she knew what she had to do. When I'm talking about standing alone, and like Pastor Bill said, that less traveled road, and Wiley, right on. Right on, brother. To know if she go in there uninvited, she could be beheaded. How many of you willing to do that? Think about it. Are you that type of Christian right now you would stand? Are you that type of Christian back in the day when they was feeding Christians the lions? Stephen being stoned? Father, forgive them, for they know not what. Are you the type of Christian that you'd be thrown in a lion's den? Or tell them, no, you're not a Christian? Pastor Saeed still in prison because he won't renounce that he's a Christian? Are you willing to do that as a Christian? These are questions the Holy Spirit asked me. So I'm just following. Are you that Christian? Are you that Christian that will stand and do that? Are you a Christian that'll stand there and let somebody light you on fire while you're alive and trust God to be in the midst of the fire with you? Think about it. Think about it. Will a real Christian stand up? Will a real Christian speak up? Somebody come to you just like out of the blue? You're a Christian? If you are, I'm going to kill you right now. I tell the kids when they get mad at me, care about you being big, Mr. Boyd? I kill you. I say, I'm already dead. What do you mean? I said, you ain't going to do nothing to kill this body, but I'm going to go and live in eternity. And the only thing going to suffer is you and your family because you're going to have to deal with all this and you had to repent and do all that. But see, do you see how I got Christ in there, though? The same way the devil can be cunning, so can we. So can we. We bring kids here on Friday night for Frontline U. Love, they love it. Mr. Boyd, when are we going to your church again? But see, you see the thirst and the hunger? They're around you, gentlemen. They're around you, women. Do you see it? The thirst and the hunger is there. They just waiting on you and me. Somebody come and talk to me, please. That's their spirit is crying out. Somebody come and tell me there's a better way. Somebody come and tell me I don't have to live like this for the rest of my life. Trying to do it myself. Everything I've done up in this point, I've ruined it. That's why I'm in this place right now. Where I've been taking out my home and I can't go home. I don't know what to do. Help! Help! We weren't saved to keep this thing to us. We weren't saved to keep the word of God. It's too good. When you get good news, don't you want to tell somebody? The word is good news. The word is good news. Stop keeping it to yourself. Later on in that same book, Esther finds favor in the midst of all that. So she want to prepare dinner, even for the enemy. Haman's come to the dinner. She gets her royal robe. She put on her full armor of God. Psalms 23, I think it's verse 5. I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. We as the body of Christ, get your handkerchief out, tuck it in your shirt, get your fork and knife, because the table is being set. Hear me, church, hear me. The table is being set. It's an old song. I ain't going to say it's old, but I used to hear it all the time when I went to church as a kid. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. I'm ready to eat.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
The way these people are doing what they're doing right now ain't going to last too much longer. That's why I said it's not a time to be lukewarm. It's not a time to be falling away, thinking there's a better thing, it's better things to do. It's not. I fight it every day. Fight it every day. But we got to fight that good fight. You got to fight that good fight. You got to get your uniform dirty. You got to get that uniform dirty. You can't be clean. Like Pastor Carolyn said, you can't talk to me or testify to me if you ain't got no scars. You got to have some battle wounds. You got to get your hands dirty. You can't just want us to be on, you don't want to be on the sideline with a jersey and a helmet and just standing there enjoying the game. But then they call your number, you be like, huh? You get the deer in the headlight looks. I've seen the guy, I forgot the kid's name, but he did. I mean, he would come to all the price, do all that. You got to get in the game. Amen? Amen. Here's another little quote. God's promises are like the stars. The darker the night, the brighter the star. Let your light shine so that all men got to let your light shine. With all this darkness around you, I gotta talk about me because I'm in the devil's playground. The more I go to that job, the more I understand why I'm there. I could go and coach right now, and make more money in 6 months coaching than I make a year. But it's not about that. It's not about that. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. People need it. They're in darkness themselves. Why are both of y'all going to sit in the dark saying, you see anything? I read a story where this father took his son, and he said, it was time for you to become a man. So he took him into the forest, and he blindfolded him. So when I first started reading, I was like, I need to call CPS. So he blindfolded me. He told him, he said, you can't take the blindfold off, and you cannot move for the entire night until daybreak. So the story goes, the kid sat there. He heard all these noises, all these sounds. A bear could have come and got him, lion, cougar, wolves. But he sat there. Morning came, kid took his blindfold off, and his father was right there the whole time, all night. That's our Heavenly Father, just like that. In the midst of your darkest places, when everything and anything can happen, he's right there. He's right there. Stop worrying. I told my wife last night, I said, I got to go to bed. My nerves is whacked out right now. Try to get some sleep. Because the enemy threw so much at me during the week, he didn't want me to get to this place. Trust God. Trust God for everything that you need. Stop letting the devil put doubt and unbelief and worry into you. Stop trying to figure out how you're going to witness somebody. Just go. Just go. Just go and let God do what he's going to do. It's not your job to do it anyway. It's just your job to be obedient and do what he said. The rest is up to him. The rest is up to him. That's why we're sitting here. It wasn't a person that prayed and witnessed it. It was God that did the rest. You just wanted that person to come and tell you about it. And then they watched you. Well, let's see how you live. Oh, you got a pink slip today. You getting fired? Let's see how she going to react or he going to react. Praise the Lord. I can't wait. It's going to be a better job or somewhere else in another couple of days. People that you're around and know that you're a Christian, they looking and watching, waiting to see, okay, is he real? Is he real? Is he real? Oh, Mr. Boy, he just called you da da da. Okay. Did he hit me? No. Did he pull a gun out on me and shoot me? No. Did he cut me with a knife? No. Why am I going to let words hurt me?
Words that
never made me bleed. I don't know about you. They hurt when you don't know who you are. When you start believing what other people say about you, you're letting them define who you are. Because you don't know whose you are and who you are. You gotta see them, ladies and gentlemen. Young people, you're not exempt. You're not exempt. I feel bad. I feel bad for some of the younger generation that used to see me when I came home in the off season, the lives that I could have had a better influence on. And I go back home now and see some of his grown men. I feel like I had a part of that. God had blessed me with a stage to glorify him. I was a 12th round draft choice for the Atlanta Falcons in 89. And the 2 years I was there, I never went to church. I never paid tithes. I never prayed. And I never read my Bible because I used that stage for myself. I used that stage for myself. That's why I said, don't keep this good news to yourself. Do not keep the good news to yourself. When I got born again in 2003 and went back to Grand Rapids where I played, and the guys, well, first I went back to Chicago because I wound up going to coach with Coach Hornsey. And one of my old teammates who I used to go out with all the time, John Moria, he saw me and his baby was born. And he told me later on, he believed me, but he didn't. But he told me, he said, the more I hung around you, the more I knew you was real. His son was born, and I forgot something was wrong with him. And he had to be rushed back to the hospital. He was in the hospital for a long time. And he came to me before practice. And we went into the stands. He was like, Tony, I need you to pray for me. You don't know the influence you have. And we prayed. And we was doing a Bible study. And I don't remember what it was about. But he stood up. He stood up in the middle of that Bible service. And I'm not glorifying me. Don't get me wrong. This is all God. He stood up. He said, hold on. I forgot the guy that used to do it. He looked at me, he said, I know God is real. And he pointed at me. Because I see what God done in changing that man. Because I know how he was before he became a Christian. All you got to do is walk the walk. Sometimes you ain't got to say nothing. Sometimes you ain't got to say nothing. Every plan of the enemy that comes up against you will fail. He never wins. No sports team get a championship and play in one quarter. You got to play the whole game. You got to play the whole game. You just can't play a quarter and then, okay, I'm winning this quarter, get my championship trophy. Don't work that way. That's the devil. That's the devil. He never wins. We always win. Even when it looks like we lose, we still win. Glory to God. Glory. Victory. From victory to victory. Amen. Stand up for what you believe in. Even if it means standing alone. Takes nothing to join a crowd. Takes nothing to join a crowd. Stand up. Stand up. I look at the story of the woman with the issue of blood. I got to read this. Who are you in a crowd is what I said with this. Who are you in the crowd? She knew if she would be seen, she could be killed, da, da, da. She didn't care. She knew she had to get to Jesus. But Jesus asked the question, who touched me? He already knew. He already knew you're a Christian. But when you're in a crowd, who are you showing who you are? Jesus was not confused about who touched him. He already knew. But why did he ask the question? It was a divine setup. He orchestrated a public confession from the woman about what had happened to her. God's plan collided with the woman's great faith, heals her, and while at the same time also providing a teaching moment and great encouragement
for the disciples and the crowd. God always wins. And in the winning, he brings somebody else along with you. He brings somebody right along with you. We serve an awesome God, a great God, a loving God. Don't let the devil put all that junk in your face and in your mind. Just like Wally preached, what's in your hand? What's in your mouth? What are you standing on? Stand, therefore, and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand. When all you know how to do is stand, gird yourself. Glory be to God. God doesn't give us what we can't handle. He helps us handle what we have been given. Can all these other false gods make that promise? God is faithful to his word. We have to trust him in his word. Amen? I gotta use Pastor Paul's favorite scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. But I got something to do. Let's go over there real quick. I want to read a little bit more of it. Just a little bit more of it. I'm going to start at verse 11 and go to 14. When you're there, just say amen. I can start with the first two words, for I know the thoughts. God wants the glory, and he always will get the glory. Amen. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Then you will call upon me. You will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for, and require a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will release you from captivity, gather you from all the nations, all the places to which I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to a place for which I caused you to be carried away captive. The trumpet is about to be blown. We don't have much longer, saints, but we don't know. But will we be ready? Did we not cast out this and this in your name? Then we prophesy in your name. And these words always stuck with me in my spirit. Depart from me. But I did. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. But I went to church. I prayed for this person for a day. I said, bless them a couple of times. I gave offerings every now and then. I paid tithes every now and then. My rookie contract was for $100,000 with a $10,000 signing bonus. Paid no tithes, no offerings. By the time I got to camp my second year, I had $3,500 to my name. I'm not sugarcoating that. I only make close to that right now, but I still pay my tithes and offering. I'm not going to let the devil take my inheritance. Not going to do it. You want to fight? Come on, buddy. Like Paulie said, I'm a big teddy bear till you push me in that corner. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Kids are there. Every now and then, the kids talking about, well, Mr. Boyd, what if all the campers, all the kids get together and try and take down staff? I said, put it like this. I said, the first 20 going to come, and the rest of y'all see what I did to them first 20, or y'all will turn around. Y'all will turn around. When it comes to me fighting, what the enemy throws at me, I'm a bold as a lion. I'm ready to fight. I'm not going to shrink up. It ain't in me to shrink up. Remember, coach called me soft one day at practice, and I took offense to it. That day, till it got to the game, when I say I hit everything that moved, even my teammates, I'm like, dude, what's wrong with you? Wouldn't say, just play. This is at practice. This wasn't even the game. This is during the week of practice. That's the way I am in the spirit. That's the way I am for God. You push me in the corner, Satan, let's go. God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but a power. Because I got the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead on the inside of me. Power. You're not timid. You're not soft. You're not weak. You're strong in the Lord. You're strong in the Lord. When you're weak, he make you strong. When you don't know what to say, let the Holy Spirit say it for you. Stop letting the people that you know, you can feel it in your spirit that walks by you. You don't even know if that person might be wanting to commit suicide that day, and all they want to do is somebody say hi. You got to preach a message. He didn't say for us to come and whip the sinner, but to save the sinner. He don't want us to whip him. You better read your Bible. No. Love them. Seriously. Y'all, you don't realize people on the edge of a cliff ready to jump, and all they waiting is somebody to come. How you doing today? Bless. That may change their whole mindset. Yeah. That one handshake. Somebody do care. They went out their way to say hi to me. They even went out their way and asked me how I'm doing today. Could I sit with you and have lunch with you today? You seem like you're upset about something. Stop keeping the good news to yourself. Let people know that you care. And then when they figure out that, okay, they do care. There's your door right there. Let me tell you something. Somebody else loves you too. His name is Jesus. Do you know he died for you on the cross? Yet while we were sinners, Christ died for you and I. Somebody told us that. Would have been a parent, a friend, grandmother, mother, father, uncle. People see me when I go home now. When I used to go home, when I first got born again, they would still come out, man. Come on, boy, let's go party, man. You home, doc? No, good, bro, I'm good. They thought I wasn't real. Oh, yeah, well, next time you come on, you'll be ready to wild out. Year come by, another year come by, them people don't come and ask me that no more. Live your life. Live your life to glorify God in everything you do, in word and deed. Do it wholeheartedly, the Bible says. Not half, wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Search me with your whole heart, not a half a heart. Amen? Let the Holy Spirit have his way. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. If it's not worth dying for, it's not worth living for. So goes the old saying, does your faith in God meet that standard? Caleb and Joshua did. Go and take this land. Did not God say for us to go and possess the land? We have dominion over the earth. Not the devil. We do. The believers, we do. All these false gods out here thinking they all this in a bag of chips. We have dominion. If my people will humble themselves and pray, he'll hear from heaven, and we can heal our land. You pray for your nation every day? You pray for your country? You pray for the president every day? I'm raising my hand because I'm guilty too. You pray for the Holy Spirit to move in that place and just transform the whole White House? Sometimes. Not all the time. I'm being real with you. Like I said, this word came to me. But just imagine if we have an upper room experience in the White House. Just imagine we have an upper room experience in the White House. That's a whole different, they ain't never seen anything like that. But if we gather ourselves and pray a fervent, whole heart prayer for our country, for the lost, why wait till something bad happens first? Pray without ceasing, the word says. Pray without ceasing. I'm going to close with this. You cannot ask God to make room in heaven for you if you have no room for him in your heart. You cannot ask God to make room in heaven for you if you have no room for him in your heart. We got to get heaven's heart for souls. They're out there, ladies and gentlemen. And we associate with them every single day, myself included, and we miss it. We miss it. They're hungry and thirsty They hungry just like you were. They hungry. As my daughter, you say, I hungry, Daddy. They hungry. They just waiting on us. They watching you. They looking at you and saying, when? When? Talk to me. Tell me what you got. I want it. But they don't know how to ask for it. They want it. Give it to them. Don't worry about what's going to happen, what they're going to say, what they're going to think. Just give it to them and say, this is what I have that you're looking for. His name is Jesus, who died on the cross, crucified, shed his blood. Yet while we were sinners, he still went and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, exceeding for you and I. That's who he is. And he loves you no matter what, no how far you don't fall, no judgment. He just loves you unconditionally. Give it to him. The same way somebody came and gave it to you. Did you get it right then and there? I didn't. I got a glimpse of the taste of it at 18 and backslid from 18 to 36. But thank God the word says he's married to a backslider. I understand that. He will never leave me nor forsake me. I understand that now. I still try to do it in my own strength. You can't. You can't. You just got to trust God. God, you telling me to go and talk to this person? I will do it. I die to myself and be obedient to you. And I'll trust him.